All right, Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It's the weekend. It's Saturday. It's the 19th. Ooh, it's the 9th of July, 2022, in the year of our Lord, 2022. I wonder about these pastors that they've trotted out that have railed against Christian nationalism. And my question to them is, what is it that you want? If you don't want Christian nationalism, what is it that you want? And I think that, I think at the heart of it is a lot of Christians, evangelicals, pastors included, have found a nice little religion. Catholics, they've found a religion. In fact, they've found a religion and they've founded a new religion that they're very content with. And I've talked a lot here on bloodandfaith.com about Jesus 2.0, the kinder, gentler Jesus, where we keep the real Jesus Christ in a closet. Stay in the closet, Jesus. You're too offensive. This is biblical. This is biblical. It goes right back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When the disciples came out to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, man, come on. You're offending them. You're offending the Pharisees. And Jesus' response was, and so what? He says, they're blind guides. They're falling into the pit. Anybody that follows them will fall into the pit too. Jesus 2.0 is not a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He's not. He's sane. He's reasonable. He's gentle. He's merciful. He's loving. He's giving. He's forgiving. He's your little, fluffy panda bear without any teeth. Oh, let's just cuddle. Let's just cuddle. I guess he makes people feel good. He's the lamb. He's a little lamb. And they truncate enormous sections of the identity of Jesus Christ in that to make him inoffensive to the world. Imagine that. You're God Almighty, and your people that are following you are going to say, God, stay in the closet because you're offensive. We're going to dumb you down. We're going to make you stupid, and we're going to rebrand you and remarket you because, the people that hate you will hate you if they really know what you're like. That's Jesus 2.0. That's what the church, that's what the evangelical church has done. Mainline churches, Catholic churches too. They've invented a religion and they like their religion. There's another people that did this. Jesus Christ confronted them 2,000 years ago. Another people did this. This isn't new. They came up with their, they came up with a religion. They came up with an entirely new religion. It looked like the previous religion for people that didn't have any idea. They still kept the thing called the Torah around, but they surrounded it, they deadened it, they turned the light off, and they said, well, yeah, we got that, but really this is what it means. And then later on, those set of traditions became known as the Talmud. Hey, we're doing the same thing. The evangelical church is doing the same thing. I'll let the Catholics deal with the Catholics. Y'all got your opinions on that? I get it. Jesus 2.0. We don't call it that, but that's what it is. Keep the real Jesus in the closet. He's offensive. He was offensive 2,000 years ago. He was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The Talmud followers said he's insane and has a demon, and they ended up murdering him. Well, we don't want to talk about that. Yeah, I know. That's part of Jesus 2.0. The Talmud followers murdered Jesus Christ. Oh, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. Right. That's part of the new religion that you have created. Fritz comes along and said, hey, salvation's based on race. Oh, you can't say that. That's racist. Jesus 2.0. Trot him right on out. I was at a sermon years ago. And granted, it was, the church I grew up with, Episcopalian. The priestess is up there. Yeah, I just told you this story before, but she says, I forget where the scripture is, but she says, there's neither Jew or Greek, slave nor free. We're all in one in Jesus Christ. And the lesbian priestess, she says, if this were written today, it would say, there's neither atheist nor believer. There's neither Muslim nor Jew or Christian or straight or homosexual. We're all one in Jesus. That's Jesus 2.0. Okay, that's the religion that has been created. Most evangelicals are partway there. They're partway there. I'm telling you, they're partway there. They're sliding right down that track. And the pastors are leading the charge. A lot of them. These silly pastors that come out and say, well, I'm against Christian nationalism. It sounds racist. Right? And they've got a new religion. They're following a new religion that they've invented. And I come out here and I chart out. I say, here's the scriptures. Here's what the scriptures say. This is what the Holy Scriptures say. Do you not believe it? Well, we interpret it this way. Well, there you go. That's exactly what the followers of the Talmud have done. It's exactly what they've done. Well, who are you to say what it means? Hey, that's why that's why we got the scriptures. We can all read them. What are you going to do with Babel? What are you going to do with the Tower of Babel? Well, that was just a nice story from a long time ago, and we don't really understand it. I know you don't understand it. You don't understand the six-day creation either. Well, we need to be reasonable. No, Jesus Christ was accused of being insane. So the evangelical church, the modern Christians of 2022, have invented a new religion. Looks a lot like the old religion, but there's no power, and they are adjuncts of the spirit of the Antichrist. Jesus 2.0 is an adjunct of the spirit of the Antichrist, who reject the Father and the Son. Talked about this a lot lately. Looks like it's a trend that'll be on for a while. Nobody wants Jesus to be offensive. Well, we can't market him as the rock of offense and a stone of stumbling. And so they dumb him down. They don't want to talk about how Jesus Christ is literally one with the Father, that he's the actual creator of the universe, that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. That offends people. That offends the followers of the Talmud. That offends the followers of Muhammad. That offends the atheist. But you dumb him down and say, well, he forgave you. He died for you. You know, I went into this a lot on the video, so I'm not going to repeat myself. But watch that video. I put that up at bloodandfaith.com. And somebody comes along and says, hey, here's a different way. Here's a better way. And they have a fit. And they side with the spirit of the Antichrist because they were friends with the world. James 4:4. James 4:4. They got a comfortable little religion that they follow. Works for them. And it is distant from the law and the prophets. It's distant from the books of Moses. It's distant from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts. Distant from 1 John, 2 John. Distant from the Revelation. Distant from Galatians. And so when I come out and I talk about what I talk about, and it's based in the Holy Scriptures, people's hair's on fire. And you know, you get CNN and MSNBC and all these groups come out, and Politico, and they find somebody to denounce whatever it is that they want to do. They find Christians to denounce the Holy Scriptures, essentially. So I want you to wrap your head around this. And if you don't accept what I'm saying, that's fine, man. It's fine. The Scriptures are there for the reading. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is there for the reading. And I know it's been a tradition in the evangelical church for a long time that, oh, read the Gospels are the most sublime and wonderful a thing we've ever seen in our lives. Go read them, man. There's a reason why the followers of the Talmud want the New Testament banned and abolished. I've preached about this. They want it abolished because when you get down and you read what Jesus said and who he said it to, it was offensive to the followers of the Talmud. And the church will bend over backwards to help them out. All right, Babel. Babel. What's the story of Babel about? When people talk about the, you know, the Great Reset or one world government, and you know, a lot of evangelicals will roll their eyes. Oh God, a one world government conspiracy theorists. Oh man, you know, here's another crackpot. And they just want to go and they want to sniff their roses and, you know, say their prayers and you know, have their religion. And my response is, look, one world government, Great Reset, consolidation of power to a central area is a story as old as Babel. It's a story as old as mankind when they got off the ark. Now, that's a problem when half the church doesn't believe in the ark, doesn't believe in Noah. Like I said, they got a new religion. They got a whole new religion. They've invented a new religion that covers up what the Holy Scriptures really say, because what reasonable man would follow that? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Jesus Christ was insane. That's what the followers of the Talmud said. He's insane, and he has a demon. Today, nobody believes in demons. Does the evangelical church believe in demons? I don't know, but they'll be quick to renounce you for being racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic, especially anti-Semitic. This is why I'm theorizing that a new invention, a new religion has been created that's distant from Jesus Christ and distant from the Holy Scriptures. And it's I can argue this theologically because this is exactly what happened. This is exactly what Jesus Christ pointed out when he was here 2,000 years ago. He pointed it out to the followers of the Talmud. He says, you got a new religion. You don't serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You do not. You do not serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. If you believe what Moses said, you would believe in me. This is what Jesus Christ told him. He told him, you came up with a whole new religion, man. You invented a whole new religion. It's your own traditions. It's your own precepts of man. And you've rejected the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. Oh, God, that was offensive. Oh, man, that offended him. You're insane and you have a demon. And they murdered him. And Christians can't wrap their minds around this. They can't wrap their minds around this. Oh my God, that's anti-Semitic. Who do you serve, Christian? You serve your religion that's distant from what the Holy Scriptures say. It's different from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Jesus Christ. You renounce the words of Jesus Christ. You renounce the words of the Master. Or is he, you get the Jesus 2.0. Or do you worship the Jesus 2.0? The emasculated Jesus, the kinder, the gentler, the forgiver, the jellyfish, the blob, the uncooked cookie dough, inoffensive to all of the seed of the serpent. Telling you, and there's a reason Jesus Christ warned against the leaven of the Pharisees. He saw it coming. He saw it coming. Why do you think he went after them? And eventually he says, listen, man, you all travel around heaven and earth, or land and sea, to make one convert, and then you make him twice the son of hell that you are. Is Jesus Christ the morning? Is he the king of the universe? Or is he just the king of what? King of what? Is he the creator of the universe? Well, that's God. No, Jesus Christ. I'm loyal to Jesus Christ. I'm loyal to Jesus Christ directly, absolutely, and eternally in this life and the next. All in, baby. All the chips are in on the table. Everything. I bet my life and my eternal soul on this God-man, Jesus Christ. Everything. I'm all in. Live or die. It's funny how we want to go see these movies and live vicariously like all these Special Forces movies or Navy SEALs or whatever it is. Oh, yeah, I want to do that. And the opportunity stares you in your face and you walk away. Mr. Evangelical. Stares you in the face. We got a monarch, guys. We got a king. Rally to him. All in, all the chips on the table, your life, your financial life, your physical life, your family life, your career, all in, baby, all in. Well, I can't, that's just not reasonable. He's insane and he has a demon. That's what they said. He's insane. Judas was the only guy that was sane. Judas was the only guy that understood. Judas was the only guy that came to his senses. He's like, oh God, what am I doing? I'm an idiot. He goes down to the followers of the Talmud and says, look, had a rough week, man, you know, but I woke up and this is really silly and, you know, I'll show you who the guy is. And, oh yeah, I don't mind taking some 30 pieces of silver. Fine. It's not like I got to kill him or anything. That's what a traitor does. A traitor doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to murder God. I'm going to murder the incarnation of God. I'm going to murder the Son of God. No. He says, look, I'm just being reasonable, man. I'm just going to go back to my people, my race, my traditions, and I'm going to be loyal to them. And, I'll point this out to you. And you betrayed the Son of God, and you wasted your eternal life. Sir, I'm sure Judas was a good I know we make him out to be this horrible, evil guy. I mean, we treat him. You know, you'd probably, I mean, I'm not trying to make him look good. I'm trying to make you look bad. I'm trying to make you understand how close treason is for every one of us. I'm in the same boat. I preach to myself. I'm in the same boat. Let's just have our religion. I just want my religion. I'm just trying to make it through life, man. I can't like put it all out there. I can't bet it all. I'm just trying to get through life. And we got this opportunity staring us in our face to be loyal even unto death. How do we overcome him? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives even unto death. And we deny that portion of the Holy Scripture. We deny that. We deny the whole idea that we're supposed to pick up a cross, literally, and follow Jesus Christ. Well, that's just asking a little too much. You know, I think you're an extremist. You're an extremist. You're an extremist. Yeah, so was Jesus Christ. He was insane and he had a demon. He's the rock of stumbling and the stone of offense. And we have betrayed him by walking away, by putting him in a closet so that we don't offend the seed of the serpent, so we don't offend the followers of the Talmud, so we don't offend the spirit of the Antichrist. And we bend the knee to the spirit of the Antichrist and go to church next Sunday and wear our cross. Well, we don't believe in it. We want a diverse and tolerant and inclusive society. You sold out to the spirit of the Antichrist. And you read all your little books, you go see your little movies about the Antichrist is coming, you're 666. No, it's so exciting, and we'll never bend the knee to them. And you bend the knee to the spirit of the Antichrist every day. Look, we're in a special time. Middle ground's gone, baby. It's gone. I have lived this ground zero because I've come from one end to the other, trying to find a middle ground where we can all just get along. I'm just as bad and lost as the next guy. I'm telling you, it doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. You will either serve the spirit of the Antichrist or you will serve Jesus Christ. Jesus 2.0? Nope. Send him back. There ain't no Jesus 2.0. There's Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe. By him, for him, through him are all things. He's the guy that says he's insane and he has a demon. He's the guy they murdered. He's the guy that said, you pick up your cross. You want to follow me? You want to follow me? You better pick up a cross. I don't got a kinder, gentler part of me to give to you. Oh, but he forgives me of my sins. Life is a loyalty test. All of life is a loyalty test. You look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's a loyalty test. Who are you loyal to? Are you loyal to Jesus Christ even unto death? Even unto death? There is nowhere in the Gospels or the Epistles where you have an easy option. It doesn't exist in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and on and on and on. Does not exist. An easy road does not exist for the followers of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the church has gone down this path. They've invented a new religion. You've invented a new religion. Put Jesus in the closet, lock the door, and we trot out something else. And we say, here it is. And no, it's not it. That's not it. That ain't it. Jesus Christ. Go read the 8th chapter of John. I feel like I've said this ad nauseum. Oh, but baby, you start talking about that stuff, and the demons in hell rise up. And then the demons call you a demon. Imagine how that works. Look, guys, I got a clue for you. Read Matthew chapter 8. Please read Matthew chapter 8. I can't think of any greater contrast than Matthew chapter 8. I mean, John chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 15 comes close. But I think it's John chapter 8. There's enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And there ain't no middle ground, guys. The beginning of chapter 8, Jesus Christ squeezes out the middle ground. He squeezes us out. He doesn't do anything to kowtow to them and to make them feel okay and accepted and loved. He makes it hard. Why do you think Jesus showed up and said, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood"? Got no intention of making this easy. You're going to have to make choices. All of life is a loyalty test. Who are you loyal to? Yourself? Your own kingdom? Most people go through life trying to build their own kingdom. They dab a little Jesus on at the end. Oh, here's some Jesus. I got the Jesus thing. I got my free ticket. You're missing the great opportunity. Yeah, you might die. You might lose your job. You might lose your career. You might lose your family. Dude, is that not what Jesus Christ said? Is that not the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that not the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's going to cost you everything. Oh, no. I didn't sign up for that. I want the newer, kinder Jesus, the Jesus 2.0. That's what I was told. He forgives me. He fulfills me. He loves me. Makes me prosperous. Gives me a free ticket to heaven. And you think you suffer when you get laid off. Oh, I don't know why I'm going through this trial. Our brethren literally laid down their lives, young and old alike. Young and old. Stephen was a young man. Followers of the Talmud murdered him. Oh, you can't say that. Yes, I can. It's called the Holy Bible, called the Holy Scriptures. Well, this is what I talk about, your religion. You've invented a new religion, and you've excised entire portions of the Holy Scriptures because it is displeasing to the spirit of the Antichrist, which rejects the Father and the Son. It's all tied together, guys. And the devil's trying to say, look here, look there. I'm telling you. And these silly pastors that denounce Christian nationalism, what do they got? What do they want? Liberal atheistic stuff? Where you have abortion on demand and homosexuality and CRT and LGBTQ in the public schools? They ain't screaming about that, are they? Look, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's no libertarian path. I speak this from experience. Speaking about myself, man. I'm preaching to myself. Is it costly? It's going to cost you. Don't say it's not. Figure out what your life is worth. Figure out what your life is worth. I don't care. Go to the right, go to the left. Doesn't matter to me. Go. But do not be deceived and do not think that there's a middle ground where we can all get along. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. Out.